So I'm gonna talk about being established tonight. And this has been something that I've, man, it's my favorite verse out of Isaiah 54. It says, you will be established. Don't you like that concept? And I want to speak to how this applies in our life. And this illustration came to me. I don't know if you've been, our president is just so amazing to me. You know, I happen to appreciate that he acknowledges God, you know, and he might not be the perfect person, but at least he's deferring, you know, to God and acknowledging him. And it's like, wow. But I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but he was standing out in front of this new ballroom that he's got going and pontificating about it. Anybody see this? Yeah, it was in the middle of, it's amazing how he can be in the middle of a war and you know, all this kind of stuff. And he's obsessed with chandeliers in a ballroom or something. You know what I mean? You know, I can't help but attribute this to God for our nation right now. I believe there's an answer of prayer, you know, that he's stepping into some stuff. But I believe there's, in what I saw, so he was standing out in front, and there's all this controversy about this new ballroom, you know, and so he kind of explained it a little bit, but he's showing it. This thing goes six stories down into the ground. This is why they're putting another price tag on it, because they're wanting to put a whole lot more in there than he had planned in the first place. But he's putting this ballroom in, and it's you know, he shows the Greek facades in the front of it and all this kind of stuff. But then he starts describing it. He says, the roof is just going to be flat. It's actually going to be a drone landing. And he said it's going to be the way the structure on the top is, it's going to be so that it preserves everything underneath of it. And he said it's going to be so the most secure thing ever, the glass on it. He said it's going to be like several inches thick. He said, and yet when you look at it, it's like you're not looking through glass. He says, anyway, and he's describing all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know what? There's been a whole bunch of presidents before him that have the power to do things, but he's establishing some things because he's acting on some things. And I was inspired by this because, you know, and what I see happening a lot, and this is my perspective, and you know, if anybody's watching, I don't want to offend anybody, but I think he does things right. Yeah. Come on. You know? And so this goes to what I think we have in God, that I think we need to be inspired in these kind of things. That it's not enough to just have the capacity to do something. It's not enough to, you know, I'll get ahead of myself a little bit, but we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. But to no avail if we're not establishing the righteousness of Christ. Amen? And what's it going to look like? It's not going to look like just what anybody else is doing. This is why I like, man, it's over the top stuff, isn't it? When God goes to do something, he does it right. And I believe that's a part of righteousness. Amen? Okay, so I want to talk about established. Because there's a necessity with godliness for order. Amen? And for things to be done in a way that resonates that this is God. Amen? And I just want us to be inspired in this because I believe God has this for us in this rightness that he's made us to be in Christ. It should touch every part of our life with order and not just getting by. Amen? All right, so let's look at Isaiah 54:14. And if you look in some translations, it's talking about governments are going to be established. But I even think, and so that's why I was kind of inspired by our president, is It's because, you know what? Governments need to be doing something that is establishing. Amen? And that's what he's kind of talking to here. He says, you shall, but I like how this Amplified says it. He says, who does this? You shall establish yourself in righteousness. Now, what's cool about this is it's not that you're without righteousness, but the establishing comes from something that you're drawing out of where you're at. You see this? So there's a responsibility for us. Are y'all hanging with me all right so far? So this rightness in conformity with God's will and order, you shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Amen. Now, it's not just the fact that you're in righteousness, it's that you're established in righteousness. So I go back to President Trump standing at the side of this ballroom. He's talking about a security system that's going to eliminate the fear of assassination. Not just for him. And he says this. He says, you know, I'm out of here for years. I'm doing this for every president that's going to follow. And what is the purpose of it? He said, right now, we have to meet with the king and the queen of England in the White House in this little room that you can only get 100 people in, you know. And it's not secure. So there's always this vulnerability. And as long as there's vulnerability, there's fear. But I'm seeing this building that's been, and it's being established, right? Around some, and once you get in that place, you're not going to be afraid anymore. So the purpose of establishing is to eliminate the possibility of infiltration, of any kind of arrows getting in. Kind of sounds like Psalm 91, right? That I'm going to be preserved. There's a secret place. But I see a responsibility. This isn't just God's responsibility. Amen? He says, there's something we're going to have to establish in this. All right? Even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Okay, let's look here. So there's another example here out of, and I like this because the reference is out of Hebrews. And what's Hebrews talking about? It's talking about faith, isn't it? And I'll just touch on this real quick. We'll get to it a little bit more. But what does it require for faith? Just believing? No. It's got to act, don't you? You got to do something. And I see that as part of the establishing part. It's not enough to just have truth come to your heart. It's what you do with it that establishes it as something that's going to move a mountain. Is that right? So, my statement here. Without faith's establishing of Noah's righteousness, there would have been no saving. So I see a similar thing taking place. What happened in the world during Noah's time? There's a bunch of hoodlums, wasn't there? Thankfully, there's a remnant on the earth today, because there's a bunch of hoodlums on the earth today, right? So there's not going to be another flood, thank goodness. But it wasn't enough for Noah just to hear God speaking to him, was it? It was years and years of obedience to what God said. And he couldn't just say, let's see, what do I want to do today? He had very specific guidelines of what he was going to do. Every day he was being obedient to measurements that made no sense to anybody up to that point. Right? But everything he was doing. Now, and we're going to get to this because before Christ, righteousness was established, there was an establishing of obedience that earned righteousness. This happened with him and it happened with Abraham also, right? And we'll look at this. But what was he doing? He was responding to God's heart, God's will to actually form something on this earth. You would have thought that God, if God can hang stars in the sky, he could surely make an ark. You know what I mean? But he's not dealing with men that way. When he deals with men, he puts something inside somebody that's actually going to cause something to form in the natural. That we are involved, that it's our responsibility, and life or death is hanging in the balance. You know what I mean? And we don't even know it. We're just being obedient to God on a daily basis. And for Noah, because he believed, it actually established his righteousness. Right? Okay, we're going to see this. So it was by faith that Noah, by faith, what was the faith? God said something, right? He wasn't believing for finances. He wasn't believing for healing. He was just believing what God said. Yeah. Build a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received what? Righteousness that comes by faith. So, and I just want to get this association between righteousness and establishing. Amen? Establishing. God made us with amazing brains, didn't he? That I guess we only use 10% of? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if it's even close to that going on, you know. But some of the things that we're really capable of, and it's not just our brains. I mean, our hands are incredibly capable of so many things. Amen? We can design, And why is that? It's because God wants to do something. God wants to establish something that represents him. Is that right? And he's going to do it through the gifts that he's given us. Amen? And so, this is what he did. This is what he did in Noah. He's going to save humanity. But he does it through somebody that's never built anything before, but has hands and says, I'm going to give you what I got. Amen? There wouldn't have been righteousness unless there was an establishing associated with it. Amen? There is always this marriage of establishing and righteousness. Praise God. This is helping me because I've quoted this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. What in the world is that? I don't know. I'm confessing a little bit, but it's like I don't feel any different. I don't look any different. You know, it's like, what is this righteousness for? And I really like this because it's for me to act on. Amen? Okay, let's go to Abraham's example here. So Abraham's righteousness, it's the same way too. His righteousness happened after his obedience, but it's married to establishing, okay? From God's word, established through his actions. Very similar. But this is out of James. Don't you like this? New Testament references to these guys. James 2:23. And so it happened, just as scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Which was establishing actions. Amen? He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Now, this is the New Testament. So he's talking on the other side of righteousness now. And so we're going to look at that. But he's very much marrying this, isn't he? He said, you know what? We're not just saved. Not made to be righteous by just faith alone. There's got to be establishing. Oh, man. This puts some responsibility on us, doesn't it? There's stuff God wants us to do. Amen? Now, the wonderful thing about this is we're all made so different, you know? And I think this is the challenge with this, because you see somebody else doing something, you think you got to do that. You know? If you're going to be in the ministry, you got to get in the pulpit. No. Right? No. But there's something you've been given. And God is actually speaking to you about that thing. Amen? And either we're looking down on it and restricting it, or we're saying, okay, I'm going to get in my prayer closet and let God show me what to do with this. Amen? Because it's not just hearing a sermon and thinking, boy, I got to go do something. No, and we're going to see this, because it's a responsibility. Oh, but let's just keep going here. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So in Christ, we have already become the righteousness of God. So Noah, Abraham, what they did established their righteousness. For us, it's almost impossible for us to do it on our own, isn't it? In fact, when we start doing it on our own, it's religion now, isn't it? It's really not faith. But what we've received in Christ is we've become a new creation now. And now we're born. We're born righteous, aren't we? Amen? But just like any little child that is born wonderfully made, until they find their purpose, they're a potential with no demonstration of it. Is that right? You know what I mean? And you wonder how much that happens over and over again. And, you know, really, our world today is robbing so many children of their potential just by these devices, you know. It's such a trap. Okay, I'm just going to tell you my experience with this. But we never had a TV till I was 16. And it's like I was saying, you know, Liam was talking to Sawyer the other day. Did I say this on Sunday? I think I did. But anyway, you're hearing these kids talking to each other and talking about, you know, they're talking FaceTime, you know, and they're laying on the floor and they're playing games. They're not outside. And it just came back to me when I was that age. What was I doing? You know, and it's like, well, one thing I did, which I'm grateful for, is I learned to play the guitar. And not just three chords. You know what I mean? I wish I was a whole lot better, and I wish I, you know, but there's a trade-off. Either the world is sucking up and wasting our potential on stuff that is TikTok and it's over. You know what I mean? Or we're giving these limbs and this mind and saying, God, what do you need to do? Amen? And really, as new creations in Christ, we're no longer just physical beings anymore. We've been born anew on the inside. Amen? With a righteousness. What is it? That's a God thing that says we are right. Amen? But again, it is meaningless unless there's an associated establishing. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Amen. So, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've already become the righteousness of God, his established work of redemption. Don't you like this? So here's what the enemy wants to do, and he did before Christ, is there was no identity with righteousness. There was an earning of it only. And it was impossible. Right? Now in Christ, this is the beauty of it. Now we are righteous. Now the big challenge is getting that associated establishing to line up with who we actually are. Does this make sense? For God made the only one who did not know sin. What is sin? Disobedience, isn't it? Just falling short, right? The inability to be righteous, no matter how hard you try. So Jesus came and did that for us, right? And he said, here you go. Here's your righteousness. so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Oh, this is great, isn't it? Praise God. And you know what? It is important to confess this. You know, I was thinking about how important this is because a guy came back from Raymond, had me do all these, you know, index cards and start confessing who I was and everything. For you to actually get revelation of this, you have to meditate on it. You have to think about this more than something else. Amen? But here's the only issue with all the index cards and all the confessions. If there's not associated action with them, they can become disillusioned with them. I think this happens a lot. And this is the only danger of going to a Bible school if you don't have it in your heart already. And you're not seeing what you're going to do after. It's like, oh, this is the answer to what I want to do. Is that right? And you don't have to go to Bible school for it. We do it right. We're doing it right now, aren't we? I'm preaching to the choir. I'm directing the choir tonight, right? This is who we are. Amen? A bunch of righteous creatures in Christ that are on the edge of their toes, ready to obey and do the establishing that God wants. Amen? And this is what I see in this church, especially because there's some things God's getting ready to do here that require us to go beyond where we've been. Amen? To say, okay, I'm not just going to sit back. I'm going to do what is necessary. And this life is not my own anymore. Amen? I've been called here for this purpose. So who we've been made to be requires development that will fully impact. Man, every single new creation in Christ, what kind of power do we have on the inside? Don't you like that Paul's prayer that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God? Amen? That the excellency of the power. Amen? And again, wonderful confessions, wonderful prayers to pray. But they're only effective when there's actions that are establishing them. Amen? There's still a marriage between righteousness and establishing that is not complete. Takes two to tango, doesn't it? Takes two to make a marriage, doesn't it? Amen? Jesus has done his part. He's waiting for our steps to align with his. Praise God. Okay. Galatians 4:19. Oh, my dear children. Don't you like this? Oh, man. I've been impressed in some of our readings lately about Paul's affection. Don't you like Paul's affection for those people that he brought into the kingdom? And how much it was a part of his life? Amen. He didn't just see them as notches on his gun, you know, it's like, or whatever. He said, oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue. And the implication is here that just like our children, there's a need for contending. Amen. And this is something we find out. I know we have people with grown children. They're still our children, aren't they? How many are contending for your children? Amen. Why? Because they haven't reached the fullness yet, have they? That implies that for each one of us, and Paul said this right up to the end, didn't he? He said, I'm pressing. Because there's more that God wants to establish through this thing he came and took me and made me to be. Amen? You know, we're never going to get there completely. But, oh, there needs to be a pressing, doesn't there? Praise God. And they will continue until Christ is what? Fully developed. I know some of them says formed, right? Completely formed in your lives. So this means, again, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, but it needs to be fully formed. Amen? And what the wonderful thing about this is it's going to touch every aspect of our life. And this is really what I want to, okay. So what I want to press into, because there's no separation from this in our life. It's either all or none, right? Amen? Our private life, the things that we, let's just keep going. All right. Philippians 2:12. The salvation within requires cooperation, alignment with God's working for it to be fully established outside. And this is why this song that we sang tonight was really good. We don't have to see this. We're just being obedient. Amen? Oh, man, this is a great passage here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, don't you like this obedience thing? There's no getting to the establishing side without obedience. Oh, and this happens, you know, with us as our own children. But, you know, me as a pastor, it's like, oh, you're missing out by not just obeying what God says about stuff. Amen? How you're living your life, you know, faithfulness to your calling, these kind of things. And you see people just fall away from it, and it's like, you know what I mean? And you think what God goes through all the time. He said, I paid the price so you can really get, you know, all of this. But I like Paul. He's a man of faith, too. I believe he's saying that by faith also. As you've always obeyed, right? Not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence? What does he say to do? Establish your salvation. Huh. With what? Fear and trembling. Now, I believe there needs to be... Keith's been doing a series on, Keith Moore's been doing a series on the fear of God, and he was given the example of Ananias and Sapphira, you know, and you know what? I think sometimes we want to draw back from fearing what might happen, but I believe there's a what might happen, you know? And so, maybe not fearing judgment, but there needs to be this fearing. What is salvation? It's not just making us really nice folks and able to go to heaven now. What is it making us? It's bringing salvation. That means rightness into every aspect of our life. Yeah. Amen? Amen? That we can miss out on salvation if we're not afraid of what we're going to miss out on if we don't apply it and work it out. Amen? That means there's something we're going to have to do with every aspect of our life that's an application of righteousness that we can't do on our own. Amen? For it is God. Don't you like this? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God. Don't you like this? It's you doing it, but it's God doing it. Amen? Oh, wow. For it is God who works in you both to will. That means I'm going to want to. Praise God. I'm going to have a hard time wanting to sometimes. This is one of the most precious things I like to experience in God's presence is his adjustment of my wants. Amen? Because he will if we're just there with him. You know, he'll change what we want. He'll change both your will and your ability. Amen? What you never thought you could have done. God's continually working on the inside. Amen? If you are working on it, if you're doing something about it. Amen? God says something, you're saying, I'm going to work. Amen. You don't even have to come up with it. God's doing something. You just say, God, what are you doing? I'm going to get to work on that. Amen. Now, a lot of this stuff, I'm not giving you exactly what this is, but this bears witness with our hearts. Amen. Let me keep going. Jeremiah 17, 7. So the desired outward structure of blessing and favor is established first in its root system. And this is what's really cool about this. Because a lot of times we can get a sermon on something and we want to go to work on it ourselves. And God's saying, no, just put your roots down. Amen? Oh, this is what's so precious about this. What we have in Christ is an opportunity to put roots down. Amen? We put roots down and we can't help but bear fruit. Amen? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what are you doing? Your roots are going down. And now something is being established above that you couldn't have done on your own. The desired outward structure of blessing and favor is established first in its root system, unseen growth that forms an immovable foundation. And again, I was thinking about Trump's ballroom. All the stuff that you can't even see that is required for it to be its full completion and protected. Amen? But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence. What's he doing? A person that makes the Lord their hope and their confidence is doing something. Man, I've seen this. This revelation on hope is what hope is the motivation to act. That means when I do something, it's going to take me somewhere. Amen? Yeah. But what happens? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence. And he is like what? A tree planted along a riverbank with its roots reaching deep into the water. A tree not bothered by the heat, nor worried by long months of drought. Its leaves stay green, and it goes right on producing all its luscious establishment. Amen? This is what I see is very powerful among us, as our roots are going deep. Amen? And God's speaking to us. He's directing us on some things to do. Amen? But it's not the things that we're going to do that makes us stable. What makes us stable is the roots that are going deep. Amen? The bigger the things God's going to do requires a bigger foundation that's established in Him. Amen? I don't want to just have something and not be stable and have it fall over. Praise God. Everything that rises up above the ground needs to go six stories deep. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? It's going to take some resources. It's going to take some investment. It was kind of cool what he said. He said, all this stuff, all this ballroom stuff, he said, I'm paying for all that. If you're hearing about money right now, it's what the other guys want to do. Right? It's with the additional security or whatever else they're wanting to do. God's doing something that we're going to participate in all. And you know what's exciting about this is, wow, this is right. Amen? Connects us to our righteousness. Praise God. Ephesians 3:17. Established dreams. How many have some dreams, desires, thoughts? Our hopes come from roots in God's love. Now, follow me on this passage, because sometimes I think this is the one where we can kind of stop short a little bit. We'll go through it real quick. Okay. Y'all good tonight? And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. That kind of sounds like going deeper and deeper and deeper, right? Now, the implication, sometimes we can just say, oh, God's inside of me. Just leave me alone while I watch my whatever. Right? And the thing is, the more you actually encounter the depths of Him, the more you're going to be drawn to go deeper. Yeah. Amen? It's kind of like somebody reveals their ignorance when they start telling you, acting like they know it all, right? Because the more you know, the more you realize you have to know. And the more you'll act humble. Is that right? So more and more in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. That means you act on him, right? Sometimes we just think we're trusting when we're sitting back. No, trusting is going forward, isn't it? It's doing something. May your roots go, oh, this sounds similar, doesn't it? May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, how high his love really is, and to experience his love for yourselves. And though it is so great, and this is not just hearing a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13 and going to work on it out of your own flesh, this is going so deep into him that you can't help but bear this. Amen? Like that tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. You can't help but bear fruit. And what's the fruit for? Not you. Right? And to experience his love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so at last you will be filled. That sounds like another scripture we just read, right? So that you can be fully formed up with God himself. Oh, this is where we put our focus, isn't it? Amen? On the foundation. Praise God. But you cannot be doing this without experiencing the results of it. There's going to be fruit that comes from this. Amen? And that's why I want to keep going here, because now, glory be to God. Now, glory, how many will say, glory be to God. Amen? Who by his mighty power, doing what? Working within us, is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, our hopes. This sounds like some establishing to me. Amen? This is no longer just lofty thoughts and wishes. It's things that he has put in our hearts because we've gone deep into him. Amen? And even the ideas and the vision of how to do it become something that's inspired by him. Amen? And there's this wonderful marriage, union of righteousness, the right things in God being established through our obedience to who we already are. Amen? Oh, this is good, isn't it? All right, Proverbs 3. I'm going to end with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Boy, that's all we need to know, just 3, 5, and 6, is it? And I got to reading the next verses after this, and I thought, you know what, let's just keep going. Okay. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Just a little bit of trust is not enough, is it? For establishing to take place, it's going to have to take all of your heart. How do you know where your heart is, where your treasure is? Is that right? So, you know, this isn't condemnation. This isn't heaviness. No, this is opportunity. Because in every part that your heart treasures, you can do this with your kids. Let them do whatever they want to do, or you can invest in them. Amen? Your job, everything that you're doing, that if it means something to your heart, it's an opportunity to trust God in it. Amen? And what is that? That's I'm going to do something that reflects what I'm getting from making my roots go deep into him. It's going to touch my job. It's going to touch my family. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And something's going to rise up above the top that looks like God. Amen? And it's going to be safe. Somebody's going to be saved as a result of this. Praise God. Seek his will in all you do. And he will show you which path to take. Don't you like this? You put your roots deep into him, and he shows you how to establish righteousness. Amen? To where it's not just an identity anymore. It's got God's steps going with it. Praise God. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Or whoever else is on social media. Right? Oh, that can waste so much time just getting somebody's thoughts on something. When we could have God's thoughts. Praise God. From his word and by his spirit. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. That sounds like working out your salvation, doesn't it? You can't fear the Lord without doing something. And turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Ah, some establishing going on. Amen? This is the works of God that require my initiation, my participation, just my reaction and belief, right? Honor the Lord with what? Your wealth. And with the best part of everything you produce. So that you will have nothing. No! Isn't that such a lie? Oh, these terrible churches that are taking all these people's money. No. I'll tell you what makes me gag. There's all these political campaigns that are taking everybody's money for, you know what I mean? It's like, flush. And we get to hook up with God. Praise God. Look at what happens when you do this. What are you doing? You're actually believing. What did God said? I will care for all your needs. More than you can imagine. Didn't he? That's not just a suggestion. That's a directive. Amen? Now I'm going to honor him with the first fruits of everything I get. Amen? Because then he will fill your barns with grain. And your vats will overflow with good wine. What's happening? There's an establishing in righteousness. Now again, this is the Old Testament, but you know what? There was this doing that had this result, and it worked back then. They were blessed, weren't they? Amen? Remember the children of Israel going down in the wilderness? They weren't even sick. Because they were just obeying as much as they could. They didn't even know that much, right? You say, no, there's going to be a blessing. And I was thinking about this. We have some people here tonight that can testify to this. Amen. Maybe all of us could raise our hand to some degree. Amen. But this is not a small thing. This is a lifetime testimony. When you begin to live this, there will be evidence that something was right going on. Amen? He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, kind of sounds like Paul, doesn't it? My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. What is the Lord's discipline? The way you're going is not the right way. Right? How many have been told that what you were doing was wrong? And it hurts, right? Ouch. That's really God, the Lord's discipline. I mean, and there's going to be consequences too. I mean, you can't help it. That's why we fear, right? I don't want the consequences. I want the blessing. Amen? So don't reject the Lord's. That means I'm going to obey. You know, you can say, well, I don't reject if there's no action there's rejection. Amen? Because where there's no works, faith dies. Is that right? So we can say, well, I ain't rejecting anything. If you aren't acting on something, you're rejecting something. Amen? Don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. The God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of David, he's the same God today, isn't he? Praise God. Now, he's made such a wonderful way. We don't have to go the old way. By grace, we can come with boldness and confidence. But there's still a marriage of righteousness, an establishment, that we're not complete until we're pressing towards it. Yeah. Amen? It's a never-ending quest that makes life in him fresh every day. Yeah. Amen? We can get old in our bodies, but we never have to get old in our quest for the establishing. We go through phases in our life and again, I'm thinking when I was a kid, and some of the stuff we did growing up, I'm not gonna get into that, but how your vision for your life is changes, you know, and you get into your older ages and you start to see things different, but there's still an establishing that's your opportunity every day if you don't reject it. Yeah. Amen? I'm telling you, there's a prayer life that is a part of this.